Imagine your 12-year-old is at a border checkpoint in Spain.
Right, maybe they're traveling with their soccer team or a school group.
Exactly. And the coach steps up and hands over a permission slip you just, hastily typed up the night before.
Oh boy.
Yeah. But the border agent just shakes their head. I mean, they don't read English. The document lacks a verifiable wet signature. It doesn't specify return travel authority.
And just like that, the trip is halted.
Right. Your kid is sitting in an airport security holding room while the rest of their team boards the flight. It is that incredibly specific, universally stressful scenario of planning a trip for your minor child when they are traveling without you.
It's terrifying. Because you pack their bags, you double-check their itinerary, but there is always that nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach about the paperwork.
You are essentially transferring a massive amount of legal parental authority to someone else, and you are doing it across state lines or international borders.
And border agents or airline personnel, hospital administrators, they do not take that transfer lightly at all.
No, they don't.
They operate in a world of worst-case scenarios. I
Yeah.
mean, we're talking anything from international child abduction to liability for unauthorized medical procedures.
Right, so they demand absolute, undeniable proof that the adult standing in front of them has your explicit permission to make decisions for your child.
Exactly.
Which brings us to our mission for this deep dive. Today, we are exploring the source guide for a very specific legal templating tool. It's the Quietly Bilingual Minor Travel Authorization Builder.
It's quite a mouthful, but it's a very targeted tool.
It really is. We're going to look at exactly how this tool helps parents generate a comprehensive bilingual English and Spanish travel consent packet. Our goal is to walk you through how to simplify this massive mountain of travel paperwork.
Because it can definitely feel like a mountain.
Oh, absolutely. But just as importantly, we're going to get very clear on what this tool does not do. Because when it comes to international travel, making assumptions about your paperwork is exactly how your kid gets stranded at the gate.
Yeah, the tool serves as this fantastic bridge over a really common, highly stressful administrative hurdle. I mean, parents often face blank page syndrome when trying to draft these documents.
Or what legal phrasing am I supposed to use here?
Exactly. This system provides that structure. But as we unpack the mechanics of it, we'll see that it completely relies on the parent to take the final physical steps. It does not remove the need for personal legwork or real-world verification.
Okay, let's unpack this. Before we can even start worrying about foreign border agents or missing travel documents, we have to actually access and use the builder.
Right, step one.
So if you are a parent right now listening to this and you need to send your kid on a trip next week with an authorized adult, how does this journey actually begin? Because looking at the source guide, there's a very deliberate process just to get from the landing page to, inputting your kid's passport number.
Well, the journey begins with access and data entry. It starts simply by going to minortravel.quietly.com. And the landing page gives you a full overview of the tool's purpose. Then the very next phase is securing your access, which is actually handled through a Square payment link.
So you just pay right there.
Right. And this payment page opens in a new tab or a completely separate window, depending on your browser. Once that payment processes, Square generates a receipt. And that receipt contains a very specific confirmation number.
Now, the guide makes a massive point about this specific number. You have to save or copy that receipt number immediately.
Yes, do not lose that number.
Because you navigate back to the original builder page, you click a button that says Open Builder, and the system actually demands that Square receipt number to unlock your session.
Exactly.
I found this architectural choice so fascinating. I mean, I'm not creating an account, I'm not setting up a username and some complex password with special characters that I'm inevitably going to forget 6 months from now.
Yeah, the system treats that receipt number as a localized access gate, rather than building this massive, vulnerable database of user accounts. It just stores your access locally on that specific device and browser combination.
It feels like a digital coat check ticket.
Oh, that's a great analogy.
Right. It's an incredibly lightweight way to get your stuff back. You hand over your coat, they hand you a little numbered tag, and as long as you have that tag, you get your coat.
Yep.
But just like a physical coat check ticket, it has strict limitations. Like if I drop off my coat at a museum in New York and then try to hand that same ticket to a coat check in Chicago, they're going to look at me like I'm crazy.
They have no record of you there.
Exactly. So with the Quietly Builder, if you pay on your smartphone while riding the train to work, and then later that evening you decide to sit down at your desktop computer to actually fill out the form, you can't just magically open it.
No, you can't.
You need to present that coat check ticket, that Square receipt number, again on the new device to unlock the builder.
Right. The trade-off for not having to manage a permanent account is that your session is tethered to where you authenticated. But once you're through that gate, the burden shifts to information gathering.
And it asks for a lot.
It does. The builder requires a highly granular level of detail. It asks for the parent or guardian's full legal name, address, phone, and email. Then it asks for the other parent's information, if applicable.
Okay.
Then you move to the minor child's details, requiring their date of birth and their passport number if they are traveling internationally.
And it doesn't let you generalize the trip either. It gets incredibly far into the weeds.
Well, because border agents view ambiguity as a massive red flag. If a document just says a child is traveling to, quote, Europe for the summer, unquote.
Right. What does that even mean?
Exactly. That lacks the specificity required to establish a clear boundary of legal authority. So the builder forces you to pinpoint the exact destination country or city, the specific transportation details, and the precise start and end dates of the journey.
That makes sense.
You also have to provide the full details of the accompanying adult or the group leader. The document needs to explicitly state who this person is and their exact relationship to the child, alongside a secondary emergency contact back home.
Okay, so I'm gonna play the role of the stressed out parent here.
Sure, go for it.
I've painstakingly typed all of this granular data in. I've double-checked my kid's passport number to make sure I didn't transpose any digits. Then I hit the phase the guide calls the electronic attestation.
Step 7.
Right. I type my name as the electronic signer. I actually use my laptop trackpad or my finger on my phone to draw a physical representation of my signature right there on the screen. Finally, I check a little attestation box certifying that all this information is true under penalty of perjury.
Okay.
So here is my assumption. I've inputted my info, drawn my digital signature, checked the legal box, I'm done. I can just save this as a PDF, email it to the soccer coach, and go back to watching television. Right.
What's fascinating here is how the tool blends modern digital convenience with the incredibly strict, uncompromising, old-school reality of global border control.
Okay.
Because to answer your assumption, no, you absolutely cannot just email a PDF and consider the job done. That is a guaranteed way to have your child's travel denied.
I'm genuinely annoyed by this. I mean, we live in a world where I can buy a house or file my taxes using a digital signature.
Yeah.
Why on earth would drawing my name on the screen not be enough for a border agent? It feels like busy work.
I get the frustration, but international borders and foreign legal systems move at a very different pace than consumer technology.
Fair enough.
The electronic attestation you complete on the screen is strictly for demonstrating your immediate intent and for generating an auditable record. It operates in the background, locking in a digital footprint.
So it's capturing data.
Yes, it captures a timestamp down to the second, generates a unique document ID, ties the document to your specific Square receipt reference, logs the device and browser you used, and locks in the certification language.
But the source material is explicitly clear on this. All of that beautiful metadata does not replace a wet signature. It does not replace a physical pen hitting physical paper.
Exactly. Step 10 of the guide is perhaps the most critical instruction of all. The parent or guardian must physically sign the printed copies. The legal authority in almost every international jurisdiction still rests on physical blue ink signatures.
Okay, wait. Let me challenge the logic of this system for a second.
Sure.
If the airline agent in Dallas or the customs officer in Mexico City only cares about my physical blue ink wet signature on a printed piece of paper, what is the actual point of forcing me to do the electronic attestation block on the digital form?
Why bother with it at all?
Yeah, why make me draw my name on a screen if it has no legal weight at the border?
Because that digital metadata provides a vital layer of verifiable context that protects you in a worst-case scenario.
Okay, how so?
Imagine a severe custody dispute arises after the trip has begun. A next partner claims they never agreed to let the child leave the state, and they accuse you of forging a wet signature on a blank piece of paper yesterday.
Oh, wow.
A simple wet signature on its own can be contested, it can be forged, or backdated.
Oh, I see where this is going.
Right. The electronic attestation block that prints out alongside your physical signature contains the digital timestamp, the unique document ID, and the device record. It proves exactly when the document was generated and how the parent interacted with the system to create it.
So it strengthens the physical signature.
Exactly. It wraps it in a protective layer of digital evidence. It shows you paid for the access, logged in from a specific IP environment, and legally certified the data at a precise moment in time.
So it's not an either-or situation. It's a belt-and-suspenders approach.
Precisely.
The digital signature proves I painstakingly generated this document on a Tuesday afternoon at 4:00 p.m., and the wet signature satisfies the legal requirement of the officer holding the paper on Friday morning at 8:00 a.m.
You are capturing the digital device record specifically to back up the authenticity of your physical signature.
That makes total sense. Okay, so moving on to the physical reality of the paperwork itself. I understand I have to hit print and grab a blue pen, but what exactly is coming out of my printer?
Good question.
Let's break down the anatomy of this packet, because the guide highlights a very specific 5-page structure.
Yeah, once you review the generated packet on your screen and click print or save to PDF, the system generates a highly polished, formatted 5-page document.
And page one is pretty straightforward.
Right. Page one is dedicated solely to instructions and important disclaimers, reminding the user of their legal responsibilities. But pages 2 through 5 are the functional core of the tool.
Let's walk through those 4 pages.
Sure. Page 2 is your English consent copy number 1. Page 3 is your Spanish consent copy number 1. Page 4 is English consent copy number 2. And finally, page 5 is Spanish consent copy number 2.
So the printer is essentially spitting out 2 complete identical sets of the consent form.
Yeah.
And each of those sets contains an English version and a beautifully translated Spanish version.
The source guide emphasizes that these 2 sets are intentionally designed as interchangeable duplicate original copies. The system explicitly avoids labeling them as the child's copy versus the adult's copy.
I think about this like having a spare tire for your travel paperwork.
Oh, I like that.
Because when you have a spare tire in the trunk of your car, you don't label one the front tire and the spare the back tire. They are just identical, fully functional tires, and you use whichever one you need depending on the emergency.
That's a perfect way to frame it.
If your teenager is carrying their own travel documents in their backpack and gets separated at security, they have a fully functional duplicate original to show a guard. Or if the group leader is standing at a hospital admissions desk while your kid is in the other room, they have a fully functional duplicate original to present to the administrator.
Ensuring both parties have legal proof at all times is paramount. And speaking of hospitals, we need to look closely at the text contained within these pages.
It's not just a basic permission slip.
Not at all. This isn't just a casual note saying, "Timmy has my permission to fly to Cancun." The generated document includes a vital, heavily structured medical and safety authorization.
Which is terrifying for a parent to think about, but absolutely critical.
It is. The consent language explicitly authorizes the accompanying adult to make necessary decisions regarding the child's safety in your absence. It grants them the legal power to seek, and more importantly, consent to emergency medical, dental, or surgical care.
Because without it, you're stuck.
Right. If a child breaks an arm on a trip, a hospital may refuse to take an x-ray or set the bone without explicit parental consent. This document gives the chaperone the authority to authorize that treatment. Furthermore, it explicitly allows the adult to assist with return travel arrangements in the event of an emergency, a flight delay, or a massive travel disruption.
That last part is so relevant right now. I mean, if a major storm grounds all flights and the kid needs to be immediately rebooked onto a completely different airline, the coach has the written, signed authority to negotiate that rebooking on the parent's behalf.
They aren't paralyzed waiting for you to answer your phone.
Exactly.
If we can get this to the bigger picture, this is where the bilingual nature of the 5-page packet becomes an absolute game changer. Put yourself in the shoes of that coach standing in an international hospital in Mexico, or facing a highly stressed border control agent in a Spanish-speaking country.
Yeah.
Handing them a dense legalistic document written entirely in English is instantly going to cause friction.
Because the hospital administrator or the border agent has to go track down a certified translator, or worse, they just reject the document outright because they refuse to sign off on legal language they cannot read themselves.
Exactly. By generating this packet, the Spanish consent page perfectly mirrors the English consent page. It contains the exact same parent information, minor information, detailed travel dates, and that crucial medical and safety authorization, all translated into Spanish.
It's side by side.
Having those side by side English and Spanish pages serves to fundamentally de-escalate high stress interactions. It removes the language barrier from the immediate administrative hurdle, signaling to the foreign official that you respect their process.
You're handing them the spare tire, and the spare tire speaks their language. It lowers everyone's blood pressure.
It really does.
Okay, so let's review my status. I've used my CoatCheck Square receipt to access the builder. I've entered all the granular data. I've drawn my digital signature to lock in the metadata timestamp.
Yep.
I've printed my 5 pages, and I have physically signed the duplicate originals in blue ink. I hand one set to my kid and one set to the coach. We are good to go. Smooth sailing is completely guaranteed, right?
This raises an important question about the inherent limits of any standardized digital template. The short answer is, maybe. But you likely have more work to do before you drop them off at the airport.
Wait, what do you mean? I followed the entire 11-step guide.
You followed the steps to generate the document. But the Qwily Builder is a template generation tool. The source material is incredibly firm on this, weaving heavy disclaimers throughout the guide.
Right.
This tool is explicitly not legal advice. It is not immigration advice, custody advice, notary advice, or airline policy advice.
Okay, so it provides an incredibly strong structure for my information, but it doesn't magically know the law.
It cannot predict the specific, constantly shifting laws of the destination country you are traveling to, nor can it analyze your personal family court history. That is why the tool heavily promotes a pre-travel checklist.
It puts it back on the parents.
It firmly pushes the responsibility back onto the user to independently verify the requirements of their specific journey.
Here's where it gets really interesting. You have this incredibly streamlined digital app that generates everything flawlessly in seconds, but it completely hits a wall when it comes to the complex hyperlocal laws of different global jurisdictions.
That's true.
I think of the Qwily Builder like a really high-end Swiss Army knife for travel prep. It gives you a fantastic, versatile set of standard tools, the bilingual translation, the robust medical authorization, the duplicate original copies.
There was a lot of ground.
It effortlessly covers 90% of the standard situations you're going to face. But you still have to check if your specific situation requires a highly specialized tool that isn't on the knife. And the biggest specialized tool that comes to mind in the source guide is notarization.
Notarization is a massive variable in international minor travel. The source guide states clearly, the generated packet does not include a built-in notary certificate. Mm-hmm. And more importantly, the app cannot and will not tell you if you even need one.
Because the app can't know if the specific border agent in Costa Rica on a Tuesday morning is going to demand a raised notary seal, or if a specific airline has an internal policy requiring notarized forms for unaccompanied minors.
Right. The tool cannot rely on a template to make a legal determination for you. If you do your homework, if you execute that pre-travel checklist and discover that, yes, your specific airline or your destination country requires the consent form to be notarized, well, the tool explains the physical steps you need to take next.
Which means stepping away from the computer and going to find a human being who is a commissioned notary public.
You must bring the printed consent packet to a notary. Crucially, you bring the packet you generated and printed, but you usually must wait to physically sign it until you are standing in front of them so they can witness the act.
Good tip.
You present the packet, your valid government-issued photo ID, and any supporting documents the notary might require to verify your identity and authority.
And the source guide lists some of those potential supporting documents. It could be custody papers, guardianship orders, the detailed travel itinerary, the child's actual passport, or any of those specific airline forms we just talked about.
Yep, whatever they need to verify you.
I want to circle back to something, though. If notary is such a common requirement, why wouldn't the developers just slap a generic notary block at the bottom of the printed page to save everyone some time?
Because a generic notary block is legally dangerous. Notary laws vary wildly from state to state within the U.S. and drastically from country to country.
Oh, I see.
A notary block that is perfectly legal in California might be legally invalid in New York. If the app printed a non-compliant block and a notary filled it out, it could invalidate the entire document.
Mm.
Furthermore, the tool cannot know if your destination requires an apostille.
Let's pause there, because apostille is a term that trips a lot of people up.
It's a tricky one.
For anyone who hasn't tangled with international law, an apostille is basically a super notary stamp. It's an additional, specialized certification attached by a government like the Secretary of State that proves a local notary seal is legally valid and recognized by a foreign country under international treaty.
It's an incredibly important distinction. Mm. The app smartly leaves the bottom of the document blank and says, let the professional local notary attach their specific legally compliant stamp and certificate for their jurisdiction.
It's protecting the user.
It provides the maximum amount of helpful structure without crossing the line into unauthorized legal advice or creating a false sense of security for the parent.
So what does this all mean? We've explored the entire source guide. We've navigated the Square Payment Access Gate, analyzed the granular data requirements, debated the value of the digital metadata versus the absolute necessity of the physical wet signature.
We've covered a lot.
We've unpacked the bilingual 5-page packet and highlighted the heavy disclaimer that you still need to research the laws yourself. If you are a parent listening to this, getting ready to send your kid on that school trip to Europe or that soccer tournament in Mexico, what is the ultimate takeaway?
The ultimate takeaway is that genuine preparation requires a combination of the right tools and rigorous independent verification.
Right.
The Qoli tool effectively cures blank page syndrome. You don't have to hire a lawyer at an hourly rate just to draft a bilingual medical authorization from scratch. The tool offers a streamlined, structured process to generate a highly professional travel consent packet. But the process is a relay race, and the software only runs the first leg. It requires the parent to grab the baton, cross the finish line with physical signatures, and take personal responsibility for verifying the travel laws of their specific journey.
Digital tools are amazing. They organize our chaos, they instantly translate complex legal terms into Spanish, and they permanently timestamp our intentions. But at the end of the day, when you are dealing with the physical reality of international borders and the ultimate safety of your minor child, the final responsibility for a smooth trip rests entirely in your hands.
You can't outsource that completely.
No. You have to print it, you have to sign it, and you have to verify it.
The physical reality of the border agent standing at the desk still dictates the rules of the game.
Which brings up a really fascinating contradiction to leave you with. We've spent this entire deep dive exploring how this specific tool beautifully bridges the gap between modern digital convenience and stubborn physical blue ink requirements.
Yeah.
But if digital tools can already instantly generate, flawlessly translate, and securely timestamp these highly detailed legal templates today, how long will it be before international borders, airlines, and notaries finally standardize a global, fully digital consent system?
That's the million-dollar question.
How long until the physical wet signature becomes a relic of the past and a secure digital verification is the only thing your kid needs to show at the gate? Something to think about the next time you're frantically scrambling to find a working printer the night before a flight.